Our Father in heaven, we rejoice that we can be gathered together in your very presence as your children to worship you, to praise you, and also to hear what you have to say to us. Thank you that all this is possible because you have first reached out to us in your grace and mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you also for all that the Holy Spirit has brought about in our lives, and the Spirit of God who helps us to know you, to hear you, and to live for you. We commit this time to your hands and we pray that you be pleased to be in our midst and that you have the freedom to speak to us, to renew our minds and strengthen our resolve to be faithful to you. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been considering the church and the fulfillment of God's purposes. And the subtopic for today is the Spirit-filled life. In the past few messages, we saw that we are living in a very important phase in the unfolding of God's purposes. We are living under the new covenant. And in this phase, it is God's intention that the church fulfill a vital role. And God has made all the provisions that are needful for the church to function well, but it is not easy. Because of the context we are in, the fallen world, the weakness of the flesh, and the relentless opposition from the forces of darkness. God has made three crucial provisions for us to bring about the fulfillment of his purposes and a good outcome for the destination of the church. All these are his provisions for us under the new covenant. That is, Christ, the complete Bible, and the outpouring and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Although these are vital provisions God has already made available to us, it does not mean we will automatically benefit well from them. It is important. We need to appreciate and respond well to all these three provisions of God if we are to fare well in the process that we are going through. And they will, they can enable us to overcome the world, the weakness of the flesh, and the wiles and attacks of the evil one. And also to enable us to fulfill the part that God desires of us in the working of his purposes. There is no other way. So I want to summarize these three aspects that we must concentrate upon. And this is something that we need to continue to work at and review during our time on earth. So we must concentrate on these three provisions of God. Growing in our appreciation of the role of Christ, the implications of the cross, and how to abide in him and he in us. As Paul puts it, I desire to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Have we caught the thrust and the spirit of the meaning of these words of the Apostle Paul and why he says these things? Then, secondly, is to work towards a strong foundation grounded in the truth God wants to teach us and communicate to us in the scriptures. We are privileged. We now have the whole Bible. And Paul also tells us that all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We want to be equipped, to be adequate for every good work. Then our appreciation of the truth in the scriptures is critical. And finally, to be led, taught, and empowered by the Holy Spirit in every aspect of our lives, personally and together in church life. Last message I mentioned that this is a distinctive feature of the new covenant, the emphasis on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. All three areas are critical. We can also say, and this one I will elaborate a little on the ministry of the Holy Spirit today, but we can also say it is the Holy Spirit that helps us to appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ, even to the point of conversion, and also after conversion, who he is, and even how to abide in Christ and he in us. Appreciating his person, what was accomplished at the cross, implications for our lives. In all this, we need the Holy Spirit to help us. Not only to know these things in our minds, but the spiritual insight into what these things mean. And then the strong foundation in the scriptures. Again, it's not possible without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But though the Holy Spirit has been poured forth, are we benefiting from the role, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the way that God desires of us, that is feasible for each one of us in our respective context? Not to compare one another, but what God intends for each one. So the last message I mentioned, since the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which took place on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, it is the will of God, and it is feasible for every believer to experience the fullness of the Spirit. And Paul exhorts us to be filled and continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5, verse 18. And now I want to elaborate a little on this important area of truth. I say elaborate a little because it is a big subject. I've covered this in greater detail in several messages in times past. All this flows forth from the outpouring and ministry of the Holy Spirit. I first want to emphasize that it is important not only for every believer to experience being filled with the Spirit, but to continue to maintain the fullness of the Spirit. Paul says, be filled and continue to be filled. You may have experienced the fullness of the Spirit once upon a time in your life, but you may no longer be filled with the Spirit. We must exercise care not to grieve the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Yes, even when you are filled with the Spirit, you can falter and fail. And when we fail, or in any way grieve the Holy Spirit, let us not think that all is lost. Yes, sometimes God may then seem so far away. Whenever we fail or we grieve the Holy Spirit, we must face it honestly, ask the Lord to forgive us, and ask Him to fill us afresh with the Spirit. Not to rationalize away our failures. Otherwise, the spiritual realities will fade into the background. And as we continue to grieve the Spirit, then we may no longer be filled with the Spirit. Related to this, is helpful also for us to recognize that when we walk well with the Lord and we are growing in Him, it is feasible, and also we should be experiencing in ever greater measure the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Some believers go about it as if they can experience the fullness of Spirit, that is the goal. They've achieved the goal. In reality, experiencing the fullness of Spirit is actually the beginning of living out the Christian life the way God desires of us. Even if you're a young Christian, you can experience the fullness of the Spirit. If you do not experience the fullness of the Spirit, you cannot learn and grow and enter into the spiritual realities in the way God desires. But after experiencing the fullness of the Spirit, there's a long way to go on the path of spiritual growth and maturity. But you may ask, how is this feasible? If the believer is already filled with the Spirit, how do we go about experiencing in ever greater measure the ministry of the Spirit? If you are filled, you are filled already. Well, there are two aspects here that is helpful for us to be clearer about. And these are very relevant to all of us. The answer to why this is feasible, and not only feasible but important to recognize and to live our lives accordingly, is that though a person may be filled with the Spirit, he can receive and experience more of the Holy Spirit because, as he walks with the Lord, as he responds to God, as he grows in the Lord, his capacity for receiving more of the Holy Spirit grows, which enables him to experience in greater measure the fullness of the Spirit in his life. A young believer feels the Spirit. If you're growing well, when you're older, the fullness of the Spirit in your life is different. It's fuller. Because your capacity has grown. Your capacity to receive and experience the fullness of the Spirit. Related to this is, as a believer grows in spiritual understanding and maturity, it also becomes more feasible for him to experience in greater measure the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and for the Holy Spirit to work more fully and extensively in and also through his life. Why? Because he may be filled, and the Holy Spirit may want to work in him, work through him, but when he's younger, he may not quite understand how to respond to the work of the Holy Spirit. But as you grow in your knowledge of the truth, and especially when you're walking well with the Lord and you're filled with the Spirit, it is spiritual insight into the truth that God has revealed. Then you are now more able to respond more fully to the Holy Spirit. You are able to cooperate more fully with what he wants to bring about in your life, and also how he wants to work through your life. So the degree in which you experience the Holy Spirit at work in your life is a lively, dynamic thing. There's a whole range. And always bear in mind, God is infinite. The Holy Spirit is infinite. Likewise, when we appreciate the truth expressed in the scriptures, there's so much there. Similarly, our experience of God, our knowledge, experience of the Lord Jesus Christ and the implications of the cross, never be deceived into complacency, thinking that you've arrived. I already know. I've already experienced it. There is a lot more that we can continue, and we ought to continue to work towards. That is why Paul, the Apostle Paul, is such a wonderful example to us. He responded very deeply to God the moment he recognized who Christ is on the road to Damascus. He responded very deeply to God. And yet, after many years of faithful ministry, learning, growing, serving, he is still pressing onward, upward, according to God's call for him in Christ Jesus. There's a lot more. And that's something that we can be very thankful about. And for that matter, that is also why we can continue to look forward to eternity. Because of the infinite God and all that is in store for us, the more we know God and experience spiritual reality, the more we will be able to recognize how little we know of all that can be known about God and what he intends for us. That is why there must always be this hunger in our hearts to know the Lord, to know the truth, and to go onwards and upwards in ever deepening appreciation of the truth and God and what he wants to bring about in our lives. So this is a very crucial aspect and area in our life, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. How to grow, develop, and go about in our lives in such a way that we can experience more and more the working of the Holy Spirit and cooperate well with him, what God wants to bring about in our lives. How well we respond to the ministry of the Holy Spirit will have a direct bearing on the degree of experience of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. when we understand the truth, that is critical. But after that, we need to respond appropriately and respond well and as deeply as we can. From time to time, I sought to remind you that that is the very essence of true Christian faith. Often Christians recognize it's important to have faith, to walk in faith. But what is the meaning of walking in faith? Often Christians do not realize you want to walk in faith, true faith. You must first recognize the truth. And then there needs to be the appropriate response to the truth you have come to recognize. So the more deeply you appreciate the truth, the more deeply you respond, the deeper will be the quality of your faith and the meaning of walking in faith. So as in the various major areas of the Christian life, it's not just a question of whether you're walking in faith or you're not walking in faith. But how well are you walking in faith? How deep? So, knowing the truth, knowing the Lord, and the depth of our response and faithfulness in working out what we've come to recognize is critical. That is why in our hearts there must always be that hunger to know the Lord, to know the truth, and to walk well with Him. Then there's another aspect that's also helpful for us to recognize in relation to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I said especially, I want to caution you that on the one hand, very important to experience the fullness of the Spirit, but it doesn't mean that when you experience it, that's it. So what I just said, the preceding is the main aspect, but there's another dimension, aspect that's helpful also to be aware of. And that is, the Lord may also fill and empower a believer more than usual in specific circumstances. You may already be filled, but you can experience the Lord's filling you more than usual in specific circumstances to enable you to respond well in that situation. I'll refer to two examples in the scriptures. Let's first turn to Acts chapter 4, the experience of Peter. This seems to be what Peter experienced in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 was in the context of powerful ministry after experiencing the baptism with the Holy Spirit by Peter and John and the others. And Peter and John, they were testifying powerfully to the truth of the gospel. But then they were arrested and put into prison. That's what you are told in Acts chapter 4, verse 3. They were put in jail, and then after that, but before that, verse 4 tells us how many were responding to the ministry. And then the next day, the rulers, elders, scribes, they were gathered together in Jerusalem, and this is actually they're appearing before the council or the Jewish Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin. You can see this in verse 15. It tells us that this was the council, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court. And these were the religious leaders of the day, learned people, and the whole council was there. And there were these two, Peter and John. And they were being confronted by the council. So all these people, the high priest, verse 6 tells us, Annas, Caiaphas, Alexander of high priestly descent, they placed the two of them in the center and began to inquire, by what power and what name have you done this? And this was an important phase in the development of the church. How are they going to respond to the council? It was not easy. But verse 8 tells us, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. But Peter had already experienced the fullness of the Spirit. But here it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you look at the margin of the American Standard Bible, it says, or having just been filled. So there was this experience of the fullness of the Spirit coming upon Peter to specially strengthen him, enable him. And then I will not go into the details here, because that's not my intention at the moment to expound the meaning here. But Peter gave a powerful testimony, and he testified to the Lord Jesus in verse 10, and also how it's through Christ that the man was healed. And not only that, he told them in verse 11, he is a stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. This quotation from the scripture. And he even preached the gospel to them, leading up to verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Not an easy thing to do, but also the choice of words in a short space of time. Peter communicate powerfully the meaning of the gospel. And these are words that rather Peter would have known would have been very offensive to the hearers. But verse 13, we see the impact. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed. The Spirit was enabling them, and they were speaking with boldness, with confidence, and even the hearers could recognize. They knew that these were untrained men, and they were amazed, and they began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. They were able to speak this way, it had something to do with the time that they spent with the Lord Jesus. The hearers were amazed. We see in verse 18, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. This is what already was commanded to them earlier, and this was mentioned again. But we see here Peter responded. Peter and John, what did they say? Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. The Holy Spirit came upon them afresh to empower them, to enable them, grant them the boldness as well as the words of wisdom to speak and testify powerfully for the Lord in that context. Likewise, we see in another incident, this time the Apostle Paul, when he was confronting the Jewish false prophet. Acts chapter 13, this was a context where it's even clearer that there was a spiritual warfare involved, a spiritual confrontation with the forces of darkness. And the powerful testimony by the Apostle Paul and the way he confronted the forces of darkness at work in that situation. So Acts chapter 13 tells us in the verse 4 how the Apostle Paul, together with Barnabas, they were sent out by the Holy Spirit. Verse 5 tells us they reached Salamis. And then verse 6 goes on to tell us how there was this magician, a Jewish false prophet whose name was Bar Jesus. And the context here tells us in verse 7 that Paul was testifying to this proconsul, Sergius Paulus. And he wanted to hear the word of God from Paul, from Barnabas and Saul. But Elymas, this false prophet, was opposing them. Verse 8. Elymas, I think I will just go through quickly, I won't read every word. So you just look at the text and follow accordingly. Elymas was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him. We know Paul was already filled with the Spirit prior to this. And verse 9 tells us, in the margin, having just been filled. So he was filled afresh in that context, because this was an important situation for Paul to be strengthened, empowered by the Spirit. So immediately after these words, Paul, filled the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on this false prophet, and he said, and you notice the words here, they are strong, powerful words that came forth from Paul. Verse 10, you who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Even addressing him as the son of the devil. So it's quite clear here, the Jewish false prophet, and what he was doing was not just at a human level. There were forces of darkness at work in and through his life. That is why Paul addressed him in this way, you son of the devil. But it didn't stop there. In verse 11, Paul went on, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time. And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. So it's quite clear here that the words pronounced by Paul was tightly related to this person not being able to see. That is, he became blind, at least for a time. And he had to be led by the hand by others. Well, the pronouncement came from Paul. Well, it's quite clear. The power cannot be from Paul himself. It is the power of the Lord. And you can see the way it flows. It's linked to Paul filled with Holy Spirit. So in that situation, the Lord granted him the words as well as the power to cause all this to take place. But not only that, it tells us the proconsul believed. So it also resulted in conversion. So here, as I mentioned, it was not just a confrontation at a human level between Paul and the magician. It involved spiritual confrontation and manifestation of God's power. Involved spiritual confrontation against the forces of darkness, and also the conversion of the proconsul. This tells us also a helpful principle for us to take note of. If you want to live well for the Lord, yes, important to experience the fullness of Spirit, to grow in spiritual maturity, to experience more and more the Spirit of God at work, and how to cooperate more fully with what the Spirit of God seeks to bring about, seeks to do in our lives and also through our lives in ministry. The other is when we are in situations where we know it's difficult, or even before we enter into it, we know it's more difficult. There's a place to look to the Lord, to fill us afresh and to empower us specially for that occasion. This is something we can pray for ourselves, we can also pray for one another. In one sense, in our midst, when we request prayer, when we pray for one another, there's an aspect of this. Whether it be something that you need to attend to, or when we request prayer for preparation and preaching, and when others are preparing for sharing and so on, we request for prayer. And sometimes we also do pray in that way, for the Lord to specially enable the brother or sister. It is this principle at work, that we are looking to the Lord to specially empower, enable for that occasion. But it varies. Some situations are very significant, so even more so. I now want to go on to mention that although we can rejoice in God's provision through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we may fail to experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the way that God intends for us, especially if we never experience the fullness of the Spirit. The other is, even if you experience the fullness of the Spirit, but you fail to maintain in various ways, you grieve the Holy Spirit in your life, or you fail to grow in your appreciation of how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit at work and what He wants to do in your life. All these are significant issues. And this is something relevant for every believer, and is ongoing every day. It's relevant. And it has a lot of relevance in our seeking to work out together in church life. If we do not experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the way that God desires of us, how can we live out our personal lives well? How can we work out well together in church life? So this is an area that we must pay attention to. The failure to experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit as God intends for us is at the root of many problems. Of course, you can look at the difficulties, the problems we go through from different angles, and there are also various factors at work. But the failure to experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the way that God desires of us is at the root of many problems, often associated with other issues. So, for example, we all know spiritual insight is very important. It's recorded for us also in Ephesians chapter 1, that Paul prayed for the believers that God will grant the spirit of revelation. Spiritual insight is critical for us to appreciate the scriptures, to understand what is going on in people's lives, to understand what we are as we go through situations, what actually is taking place in the spiritual realm, to understand what God is doing, to understand what the evil one is doing, to understand what God desires of us. If we are rather lacking in spiritual insight, it would be a problem. Then another area that we are all very conscious of is very important is spiritual strength, stamina, life and vitality. So a lack of spiritual strength, stamina, life and vitality is of course a major issue. This doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be physically very weak. Some of us, especially as you grow older, or you're not well, or certain ailments, you may, what people use the term, have a sense of fatigue. And you may even experience this from time to time in your life, but it doesn't mean that you are spiritually weak. There is the fatigue that is of a physical dimension, but here we are talking about is spiritual. You may be very energetic physically, and you may run around doing many things, including Christian activities, but actually spiritually rather weak. And if you are involved in something that requires exertion of spiritual strength, there isn't the stamina to carry on properly. There isn't that spiritual life and vitality that is there. So these are critical issues. Related to that is another area that is very important. So, here, as I said, I'm now talking about the problems, the root of many problems, where there's this lack of experience of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives as God desires of us. And another important area is the difficulty identifying with the heart of God and seeing things the way God does. We know this is critical. We want to be faithful to God and walk well with God. Then we must identify with the heart of God. So, if the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, He doesn't have that kind of freedom. He's not working in our hearts and lives the way it ought to be. Then it can become difficult for us to identify the heart of God. Now, these are things that actually can take place without our being very conscious of it. You may think that we are serving God, we are doing all these things for God, but it can be very different from what actually God desires of you. You see various things, you may even be quite confident. It is this, it is that, so you go about doing this and that. But are you seeing things the way God sees them? Are you responding in the way God desires of you? So in order for this area to fail, and it's not just for one occasion, generally, then it's very important for us to seek the Lord, to have a clearer, fuller appreciation of the role of the Holy Spirit and how to enter into the experience of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the way that's feasible for us. Then another major aspect that's problematic is the manifestations of the flesh. Now, in this area, let us bear in mind. Manifestations of the flesh sounds rather distasteful. We don't want to think that we have anything to do with it. But let's face it, even if you're walking with the Lord, even if you're a positive Christian, even if you're growing reasonably in the Lord, there will still be manifestations of the flesh in your life, in our lives. Not every thought, every act, every motive is all fully of the Spirit. The flesh easily manifests itself. And we need to learn more and more how to walk according to the Spirit and not carry out desires of the flesh or to manifest the flesh in any way. It can take place in our spirit, in our thought life, in the way we see things, respond to things. But if our experience of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is rather deficient, then the manifestations of the flesh will be much, much more and can be in quite gross forms. And I said, at times we may not even be conscious of it, but there are, from time to time we can recognize it if there is the freedom of the Lord to speak to us. So the manifestations of the flesh can take place in our spirit, the kind of spirit that we have. Is it a spirit of humility or pride or arrogance or impatience, irritability, whatever it may be? The attitude in our heart. These are the most important. And then it can also manifest in our speech, in our conduct. And what I mentioned just now, the way we see things, the way we approach issues, according to the Spirit or according to the flesh. As I said, even in speech, conduct, we may even be, and in fact it can be even stronger, the sense that of confidence that we are right when there's a strong manifestation of the flesh. But it is possible to recognize these things if we are more prayerful. So one way to describe lack of experience of the Spirit in the life of a believer and its result would be a general description of weak believers, not responding and not able to live out the way God desires of the believer. Another term that is helpful to bear in mind is the term ineffectiveness. Ineffectiveness in witnessing, in service, in making positive contributions to the advancement of God's kingdom. Because we know in all these areas, to be effective, it has to be according to the empowering and enabling of the Spirit. What comes from us is of the flesh. And again, here I'm talking about, as it is the reality in God's kingdom as God sees it. Not just according to what we think or what others may say. Not only not so able to contribute positively to the advancement of God's kingdom, we may also in various ways pose obstacles and hindrances to the Lord's work. This is very real in the universal church amongst believers. Many believers, in many different ways, knowingly, unknowingly, we can actually pose hindrances, obstacles to the advancement of God's kingdom. And again, as I said, do not think that this can only take place only in the lives of those whose attitudes are very bad, who are very far from the kingdom of God. In this regard, it's always helpful to remember the Apostle Peter and how he was a hindrance to the Lord Jesus in his preparation to go to the cross. And the Lord Jesus rebuked him, but in the context, the Lord Jesus, "Get behind me, Satan." So actually addressing Satan, but also addressing Peter, because the evil one was at work influencing Peter. Now, is that of the Spirit? Of course not of the Holy Spirit. The evil one took advantage of the flesh. So this can happen to any of us, all of us, but especially if we are not walking well with the Lord, or we do not quite understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Then the other major area, we know the scriptures warns us about the world. When we are in that state, we can be easily, unduly influenced by the world. The values of the world, the ways of the world, the world's ideas, approach. And it is true, sad to say, that these things also creeps into church life and even in the Lord's work. That Christians can try to serve the Lord according to the flesh and the ways and approach of the world. This is something that we need to take note of and to be careful. But of course, this area, now I cannot go into detail in other contexts. I do try to go into more details in this area. Here, you must understand, we are talking about spiritual reality. What is of God? And when we say what is of the world, here is the spirit of the world. This I've covered, for example, in the two kingdoms and other messages. It's not just whatever we see going on in the world means that's negative. Christians are also living in the world. For that matter, even non-believers. Some people think non-believers cannot do anything that's of any meaning, because they are non-Christians. So whatever they do is of darkness, evil, no good. Such an understanding, from what I can see, the scriptural presentation is not accurate and gives rise to a lot of problems. Because God is at work in this world. If God is not at work in this world, and even the lives of non-believers, it will all be terribly black and dark. The other is, it's also quite clear, even before a person is converted, if we have to say that the Spirit of God will not be at work because he's not a Christian, then how about the Holy Spirit at work in preparing the heart of the non-believer in the process of his turning to God and before conversion? Can the Holy Spirit work in his heart? Yes. Can the Holy Spirit work in the hearts of non-believers so that not only they are not so wicked, but can there be at times acts of kindness where there's an element, an aspect that's positive, because even though they do not understand many things, but they are created image of God and God can work. But of course it is true that the direction, the meaning, the overall picture, the life of a non-believer is very different from a believer. I cannot now go into details on this subject. But you can also pause and think, even for non-believers, there's also a range. Not all non-believers are the same in their attitudes, their heart condition, and so on. The same is true also for believers. There's also a whole range. How healthy, how meaningful. So, anyway, when I mentioned about unduly influenced by the world and so on, we are talking about the spirit of the world. The world under the influence of the evil one and the forces of darkness. And yes, it is true. The evil one is actively at work in this world, and he has a lot of freedom. The fourth dimension has a lot of freedom to work in this world in the hearts and minds of non-believers. But as I said, God is also at work. Otherwise, you'll all be just terribly dark. But those who yield to the negative work of the evil spirits and the evil one at work, yes, it can become terribly wicked and cruel. And we do see these things in the world. So yes, it can be very, very dark and evil. Okay. So now we are talking about believers. And if we to be effective in the way we discern what is of the world, what is according to the spirit of the world, and the world's approach to things that are not helpful, then our relationship with the Holy Spirit, how much freedom the Spirit has to speak to us, to guide us, becomes very important. Well, another aspect that can help us to recognize the problem, the difficulty, okay, we can put it in this form, would be what I term as unnecessary difficulties and hindrances in our personal walk with God and our working of church life. I say unnecessary, and this is important. Because if you are faithful to God, yes, there will be various difficulties. There can be various hindrances in the way that not only we need not despair as we look to the Lord, it can be very meaningful, though it can be quite difficult at times. In fact, at times, very, very difficult. But we must minimize all the unnecessary pains and difficulties and hindrances. But if we are not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we are just manifestations of the flesh, the heat built one have freedom to work in our lives, then we can face a lot of unnecessary difficulties, hardship, hindrances. Personal life, the other is church life. In church life, we know it's not just an individual. An individual, you already can face difficulties. But in church life, there's so many of us. How to work together with oneness of heart? Easy? No. But bear in mind, Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, preserve the unity of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, a very important role of the Holy Spirit in church life is helping us to be one. But we are still in the flesh, in the sense that while we are on earth, there is still this weakness of the flesh. And the evil one can easily work in different ways. Not just in conduct, but also in speech, in our thought life, and so on. What we think, what we perceive. So, if we are not careful, then there can be a lot of unnecessary difficulties and hindrances in the outworking of church life. So, can also result in unnecessary disharmony and conflicts and so on. I want to make two comments. One is, it does not mean a believer who is not filled with the Holy Spirit will not experience the Holy Spirit working in his life. And some may think, oh, if I experience the Holy Spirit working, even at times, you know, quite strong. At times it can be God's gracious working, and for that situation, in his grace and mercy, he works. But how about the general, our lives generally? When we experience the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean we are filled with the Spirit. It doesn't mean if you are not filled with the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit cannot work in our lives. It is not like that. Why? Because all true believers are born of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in every believer. And the Holy Spirit will seek to help every believer. So we can experience the Holy Spirit at work. But if you are not filled with the Spirit, is there a difference? Of course. Significant difference. You will then not experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life in the way that God intends for you and for His children. So the spiritual realm will not be so real to such a believer. God and the things of God's kingdom will not be so real to him. I'm not talking about feeling now. I'm talking about at a deeper level. The spiritual discernment, recognition, and experience. He does not understand, he does not gain insight into the scriptures and appreciate the truth that God intends to communicate through the scriptures in the way that is feasible for him. It doesn't mean he cannot understand, he cannot appreciate, he cannot work out. But if he's filled with the Spirit and he goes about his life properly, then the way he's able to receive, to understand, to work out will be different. That is why Paul tells us to be filled and continue to be filled. Why is it the Holy Spirit is poured forth? Why does Paul say, walk according to the Spirit and you not carry out the desire of the flesh? When we are not filled with the Spirit, then we will not experience the guidance and empowering of the Holy Spirit in the way that God intends for us. If we are filled with the Spirit, we are prayerful, then generally the recognition of the presence of God and God at work in our lives will not just be a feigned kind of thing. But as I said, I'm not talking about emotion. You can be filled with the Spirit, walking, there's a recognition, there's a reality. Even if you at times feel as if God is very far away. But if you are filled with the Spirit, walking with the Spirit, walking with the Lord, generally positive, meaningful, as I said, there'll be a growing experience of the Spirit at work in our lives, and generally, with passing time, we'll be able to recognize whether the reading of the scriptures, in our prayer life, in our daily walk with God, and as we seek to serve the Lord, as we seek to work out together with the brethren, we'll be able to recognize the Holy Spirit at work in and through our lives, and especially our personal relationship with God. The reality of God, the presence of God. So the other observation we need to take note of, which I've already to some degree mentioned, is that it does not mean that if one has experienced the fullness of the Spirit, he will live well. Oh, I've experienced the fullness of the Spirit, so then my life is fine, I'm okay. Not necessarily. Because we may have experienced the fullness of Spirit, but we may still walk according to the flesh. At any moment of time, we can still walk according to the flesh. That's how God has created us. We can choose to walk according to the flesh or according to the Spirit. But of course, if you're not filled with the Spirit, even if you want to choose to walk according to the Spirit, it can be quite difficult. But if you are filled with the Spirit, it will be relatively easier. But easier in the sense that the sense of God's presence enabling so you can. But it's a continuing thing. You have to continually choose, actively choose to be prayerful, to be humble, to walk according to the Spirit, to look to and to be sensitive to the Spirit's guidance and enabling. That is needful. Otherwise, as I mentioned, you may still walk according to the flesh. And you may grieve the Spirit. So sometimes we are not so conscious of all these things. So we just go about in our lives. Then we may not properly appreciate why the very strong trust in the scriptures, to be prayerful. As Paul puts it, pray unceasingly, devote yourself to prayer, and so on. Walk according to the Spirit. Why all these injunctions? They all come together. Together, they communicate to us a beautiful picture of the meaning of the Spirit-filled life. The reality of the fullness of the Spirit and the implications involved is very vital, and we cannot afford neglect or to be ignorant about this area of truth. We must pay close attention to what the Scriptures teach us and ask God to help us appreciate and enter into what He intends for each one of us. So over the years, in various messages, yes, I do cover various grounds that are consistent with this, but specifically addressing this issue, yes, I have addressed it to some reasonable detail. In AR 179 to 186. So for those of you, if you recognize this area important, you want to have a fuller appreciation of what this area mean, how to respond well, not only available in audio, also all these, I think there are 8 messages, they have already been edited and also put on the website, the text in text message. And as I've mentioned to you, actually these 8 messages I think is suitable to be compiled into one book. So, but it may still take some time before it becomes a book, because prior to that, we may publish first a book on the messages in relation to the death of Christ. So it may still take a while, but they are already available, not in audio, but text messages. Let us bear in mind, it is true, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is very important, yes, but sadly, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, including being baptized and filled with the Spirit and the Spirit-filled life, it is enveloped in a lot of controversy and confusion in the universal church. And many congregations have been torn asunder because of differences in this area of truth. In church history and even in our generation, and it is still ongoing. This is not surprising, because this is a very major issue, area of truth, and the evil one seeks to do all he can to confuse the issues and to cause confusion and division and to hinder God's people. So the evil one, the forces of darkness, they have been actively at work to obscure the truth and to confuse God's people and to promote division. And this is an area that can become very sensitive. What kind of views people hold, as well as Christians, either to be hindered from experiencing the fullness of the Spirit or beyond that, to emphasize and approach issues not according to scriptural teaching, in a way that can give rise to a lot of freedom for the forces of darkness to work. And especially this area of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is directly involving the spiritual realm. And when it comes to this area, from all that I can understand and appreciate of spiritual reality, it becomes much more feasible for the evil one to work directly. How the evil one, the force of darkness, of course they want to destroy, they want to do all kinds of things, and had they not been restrained, everything would have been terrible. But from what I can understand, in accordance with scriptural revelation, the evil one and the force of darkness cannot just do whatever they want. They have to work within, one is what God permits, but one very major aspect has to do with moral and spiritual principles. They are also governed by moral and spiritual principles. How much freedom they have to work in, what kind of context. So if you approach your life in a certain way, you have a lot more freedom. If you are careful in certain ways you minimize. And I want to register this point with you. We were very conscious of these principles even before and right from the very beginning of our working out together in this context. And we have sought to minimize the unnecessary exposure to the forces of darkness at work in a way that can be very devastating. And it's possible to adopt approaches that minimizes their working. There is something that you need to be prayerful for your own minds, and also if you become exposed to other influences, you need to exercise care. Because sometimes if you go wrong in this area, the directly spiritual, where you experience the realities in the spiritual realm, if it is from the false darkness, if it is mixed up with false teaching, wrong understanding of the scriptures, wrong approach, emphasis in a way that gives a lot of freedom for Iwan to work, then it's possible, or maybe I should put it more strongly, not just possible, you can enter into a lot of spiritual difficulties, incurring spiritual bondage of a kind that can be very difficult to come out of. And there's a lot that the evil one has been doing throughout church history and until today. And from what I can understand, this will continue to grow in gravity and intensity as we approach the coming of Christ. The scriptures warns us, the Lord Jesus warns us, the apostles and the epistles warns us to exercise care. Perhaps this is one reason why. On the one hand, there's the overemphasis in this area that can give rise to a lot of problems. On the other hand, there are many who speak strongly against some of these aspects in a way that moves to the other side, whereby there is insufficient attention paid to the role of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, not just in principle, but the actual experience of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because it's an area that there are those who have observed the excesses, the dangers, the problems, and they preach against it, and they themselves are also very wary of this whole area, and then contributes to classifying this whole area as something not of the Lord. Of course, believers do understand the scriptures clearly teaches about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit. I'm not talking about the experience of the reality of the ministry of the Spirit. What is this? What does it involve? So this area, very important, we must pay attention to have a sound understanding as well as actual experience of the ministry of the Holy Spirit as much as we can in a meaningful way. But I also need to caution you, it is an area whereby we need to exercise care. It must be grounded in sound knowledge of what the scriptures teaches. And be careful not to be negatively influenced by unwholesome teaching in this area. And even sometimes you come across not just novel ideas, but observe experiences that may seem wonderful. The evil one can also disguise himself as an angel of light and grant us experiences that may even give us a sense of peace, deep peace, joy. But it is different from the actual experience of the peace of God and the joy of God. They're different. But I will have to stop here for today. But even as I emphasize the importance of the role of the Holy Spirit, and not just for understanding of the mind, but our need to enter, experience more deeply the mystery of the Spirit. I see a need to caution you also to be careful. So we'll stop here for today, and as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, let us look to the Lord that He may impress deeply in our hearts the importance of growing appreciation of the role of Christ, the implications of Christ, the implications of the cross, and how to abide in Him and He in us, to work towards a strong foundation grounded in the truth God wants to communicate to us in the Scriptures, especially what we considered more fully today, the role and ministry of the Holy Spirit, the importance of being filled and continue to be filled with the Spirit, and that the Spirit of God may have much freedom to work deeply in us and empower us and work through us, and that we may know how to receive the Spirit, cooperate with the Spirit, discern what He's seeking to do, and walk well with the Lord, and growing appreciation of what it means to walk according to the Spirit. Let's ask the Lord to help us to recognize if there are hindrances that we need to remove, whether it be indulgences of the flesh or wrong concepts in our minds that hinders the Spirit from working in our hearts. At the same time, that the Lord may also impress upon our hearts to exercise care so that the evil one and the forces of darkness will not be able to exploit and take advantage of our lives and cause us to experience many things that are not of the Lord, that can result in confusion and even spiritual bondage. So let us now spend some time to ask the Lord to help us to know how to go on from here, how to pay attention to this area in the way that He desires of us. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the privilege of living our lives during this phase in the fulfillment of Your purposes. Thank You for Your wonderful provisions for us, especially Your provision, the Lord Jesus, the whole Bible, and also that we can be filled and empowered, guided and enabled by Your Spirit in every aspect of our lives all the time. And thank You for showing to us how You have provided all this not only for us at a personal level, but for us in church life. Thank You for Your intentions for the church. And we know that church life is part of Your provision for believers to be able to learn and grow well together with all the other provisions You have made for us, so that we can rise up to Your high calling and fulfill the part You desire of us. Father, we pray that You will help us, that we will not be complacent, but there will always be that hunger in our hearts to know the truth You reveal in the Scriptures, and to recognize there's so much more we have yet to understand. And not only just to understand with our minds, but also to receive the truth into our hearts, that You have the freedom to speak to us, and that the words of truth will fall on good soil and not on rocky soil or among thorns. We pray especially regards to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives and church life, that you help us to have a wholesome appreciation of this area of truth and how to experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the way you desire of us, increasingly experiencing, entering into all that is visible, and together with it, to realize your kind intentions for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we know that the Spirit of God has come, to glorify Christ, and a major aspect of it is to glorify Christ in and through our lives. We thank you now for the Lord's Supper. We can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. And we ask that you prepare our hearts that we may not partake in an unworthy manner. Help us to remove all hindrances, all that grief your heart. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.